Blog Talk Radio.
This is Bill After from OneWrestling.com with several of my friends. Sir, what you gonna do, brother, when PWR Slam runs wild under... Wait a second, you can't say that. Sorry, this is Bill After, but wait a second, it's the Dream. You talking about PWR Slam. Funko, come here. I don't want to talk if we're on PWR Slam. After, come here. I was just trying to say this, Bill After, from OneWrestling.com, and I'm proud to be here at PWR Slam.
You're in the ER with PWR Slam, the hottest wrestling talk show on all of the internet, with your host, Chaotic Katie, the Dean of Wrestling Referee Steve Kane, and Sadistic Sean Davis. Now, let's go into the ER for PWR Slam.
much. Good evening, wrestling fans. Yes, you are live in the ER with PWR Slam. I am your host, the Dean of Wrestling Referees, Steve Kane, along with my co-host.
Okay, am I the only one here? All right.
Yeah, I would be opening it if it were the other way around.
All right. Well, you know who I am, and you know that I'm the reason why this show will never be a bag of dicks or solo. Chaotic Kitty. We're
starting. Oh, my gosh. He is out on the road doing some more promotional work for WrestleWars tonight. Now, first off, we want to start. We've got to offer some congratulations. Somebody just became a brand new set of parents today.
Who?
The Danielsons.
Oh, I didn't.
Brian and Brianna.
Oh, I didn't think she was that far along. Wow.
Yep. Yep.
Me.
Today, a little girl.
Aw.
Yeah.
Very cute. Oh. I didn't think Brie was that far along. I really didn't.
I was rather surprised myself, but
yeah.
Yep. Today is the baby's birthday, so wish I had a little Brahms lullaby to play on that one. So, all right. Well, we have reached out to our dear friend Roxy to see if maybe she and any of the other Glow Girls can get on this evening to talk about their time this past week at Cauliflower Alley Club. And like I mentioned previously, anybody that is on Little Egypt's page on Facebook saw the awards that night, and the girls all getting to sit there and talk and tell stories and that. I'll tell you what, Katie, it reminded me much like the Afterglow cruise.
Very cool.
Yes. And speaking of, I should actually go ahead and pull this up real quick. I'll pull it off of Rock's page because they are setting up for the next one. And this one looks to be a real good one too. So give me just a second to find that one. And there she is. Okay. So we'll take just a moment here for it to pull up, and there we go. Okay. Come on, Roxy. Yes.
Yeah, you gotta get that clip for me. I don't mind singing it, but
well, I might just do that. Either that or I'll get Weird Al's I Lost on Jeopardy, baby.
Baby. You can do that. Yeah. That's going way back.
Oh yeah. But hey. nothing wrong with little Weird Al, you know. I think let's put it this way. I think anybody that doesn't like Weird Al is not human.
Yeah, there's something wrong with you if you have a problem with Weird Al. I love that man. If you have a problem with him or Dr. Demento, yeah, you need to go sit over there in the corner and lick your balls. So
yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, I grew of course, now here I am, I'm gonna show my talk about my age again. I grew up with a couple of country guys that that before there was Weird Al, there were Homer and Jethro.
Okay.
And Homer was a guitar player, Jethro was a mandolin player. Jethro Burns was probably one of the best mandolin players of all time. I mean, seriously, that guy That guy could pick a mandolin so fast, you literally could not see his hand going up and down on the strings.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, but they were also
cool.
But they were also funny as all get out. I mean, if there was a song that was popular at the time, Homer and Jethro would wind up eventually doing something with it. I still to this day at times sing Heartbreak Motel, which was their tribute to Elvis.
I haven't heard it in years.
My room, it was so small. Every time I tried to smile, my teeth would touch the wall.
I remember that. I remember it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. So okay, now. Yeah. So now I'm getting the Glow page, well, Roxy's page up.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have never seen the Glow documentary, if you do not have Netflix, well, number one, why don't you?
You and I have Netflix.
Right. Number two, on Roxy's page, there is a YouTube link to that original documentary, which is a great piece of filmmaking, because they, you know, really tell the story of how this all came to be. I mean before there was Eric Bischoff, there was David McClane.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, actually David McClane was working in Indianapolis one of these next times we get our buddy Scott Romer on. He can tell the stories and that. But David McClane, who of course was an old high school buddy of his, was actually ring announcer and the commentator for Dick the Bruiser's WWA. And so anyway, they've already got the next Afterglow cruise set up. And it will be March 4th through 11th. And this time, and they're going to be on the Norwegian registered ship Breakaway. And they will be traveling from New York to the Bahamas.
Ooh.
So,
be a Bahama mama?
Yeah. Yeah, Bahama mama. And the prices for a cruise are very reasonable. It says here that tickets are starting at only $829.
That's awesome, folks. When normally you take a cruise, you're paying anywhere from $1,000 to $1,100 to $1,400.
Depending
on where you're going and what your accommodations are and what's included with your accommodations and your package. Okay, your package. If you have a package, there's something wrong with you. But anyways.
and it's only $175 deposit.
Mm-hmm.
And right now scheduled to be on that trip are Roxy, Gremlina,
uh-huh,
Beastie, Debbie Dallas, MTV, and Hollywood.
Nice. Very cool.
Yep, yep.
No Diana Prince?
Well, remember, Diana's not an actual
I know, but where Roxy goes, Diana goes.
I am sure that Diana will probably be you know, running around.
I love her all the bit.
And that.
Love her all the bit.
So,
I really do.
Yeah.
Running around and falling on her face in her high heels. Yep. That's Diana.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
Love her all the bits. I love my Auntie Roxy, and I haven't seen a post from Auntie Roxy in a while.
Yeah, well, of course, last week was all Cauliflower Alley, so they were, you know, they were gone, they were tied up, and that. Okay, now here we go. Oh.
Okay.
Ah, because now I've just gone to the website. They're going to head out of New York Harbor. So when you leave, you will be leaving, going past the Statue of Liberty.
Neat.
Yeah. Now, if you book any cabin, you get your choice of free unlimited beverage package, gratuities included for two guests. Free dining package, gratuities included for two guests. Prepaid service charges for two guests. Free 250-minute internet package per stateroom. And a $50 per port shore excursion credit. So, you know, anybody who's a cruise veteran probably understands this a lot better than I do, but I'm sitting here and I'm looking at that and it's just like, okay, this definitely is a great deal. So I definitely think that, if you can afford it. Now it's, in fact, I'll actually go ahead. I'll put the link in the chat right now. So, well, I wonder where all our regulars are at. I know Billy has called in because, of course, Billy's computer sucks and that. But I wonder where Johnny and all the normal crew are.
I let John know. I don't know what the hell's going on. Larry's with us, that I do know.
Yep.
I don't care. Maybe go catch the replay. Maybe, you know,
yep.
It's so
yep.
good.
Yep. Which if you don't know, you can actually go ahead and catch the replays of our shows. They come up usually pretty much right away.
Cool.
And those are available on the TuneIn Radio app. And
yep.
TuneIn is available as an app on iTunes store.
I know the app very well. I use it when we have beach dinners. It's really good. I use it for the radio. It's excellent.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a fan of old-time classic radio shows like Suspense, Fibber McGee and Molly, and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a
oh,
station
God.
Up.
Oh, God, not Suspense Theater. Oh, God, Suspense Theater creeps me out. Before you start, did I ever tell you about the time? Okay, they have comedy on. They used to have comedy on at 10 o'clock at night, and it would run till 11, okay? And after that, they would have Suspense Mystery Theater. Theater of the mind, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And Darren and I would always fall asleep, like, towards the end of the comedy show. Well, one night he forgot to turn the radio off, right, to put the timer
mm-hmm.
on the alarm clock to turn the radio off, and I woke up and I thought people were in the house and started freaking out, sort of waking
oh,
up, Darren, there's someone in the house, Darren, there's someone in the house.
Oh,
and he's like, what,
God.
Where, huh, who? I mean, we lived with his brother at the time, and his brother's like, you left the radio on again, you stupid twat. And him and his wife are laughing at me, right? She's laughing so hard, she's crying. She's on the floor outside of the bedroom door just laughing at me. And he's like, thanks, Corey. Thanks, Mike. You're an asshole. But yeah, but I don't, so yeah, I can't.
Oh my gosh, that's funny. That's funny. Well, we get this because there's a guy who runs a station out of his house up in the far north in Antioch, and so he plays all the classic stuff. At night, usually it's a mystery show that was popular out on the West Coast, but eventually wound up having to run on the CBS radio network called The Whistler. And I think if you fell asleep and woke up to hearing that one, Katie, you'd freak out.
Oh, probably.
Because that's murder mystery and that kind of stuff. So, speaking of babies, Tough Enough season 6 winner Sarah Lee and her other half, NXT's Wesley Blake, had a baby girl themselves.
Oh, little baby girl. Oh.
So,
I love babies, I do.
And
I like other people's
babies more than you. they got a picture. Great. All right, I gotta put this in the chat. Katie, you'll love this picture.
All right,
because
let me look.
Okay.
I love babies. Okay, what's the first one? What was the first link? I can't remember.
The first link is the link for the cruise.
Okay, very good. Good stuff.
So, get your passports.
Oh,
get your money saved up because
So she's newly pregnant. And
no,
she just had the baby. Understood, but the first picture I pulled up was one of her holding an ultrasound. I can't see
right.
The picture. Okay,
but scroll
here's
down.
Here's the baby, and protecting her like they should and they usually do is an English bulldog. No, that's a British bulldog. He's too short to be a British.
Yeah.
He's too short to be English. He's a British.
I'll tell you right now. That kid is going to be riding that poor dog like a horse in probably about a year.
You know what? That she's his human. He's not going to care.
Yeah.
That's the dog.
The bulldog's name is Butter.
His name is Butter. That's Butter's is human. Nothing and no harm will ever come to that pretty little girl ever while he's around. And you can all think what you want. Okay, I understand that I know little things here and there about little things that nobody knows. But if you look it up, the British Bulldog, there is a reason why they look the way they do. They used to put them in and why they're named what they're named. They used to put them in the bullfights to taunt and tease the bulls and bite at the bulls and everything. And while also it was also after they were stabbed with the swords and whatnot, right? So they were still taunting and teasing them to make them fight. Now, the reason why they use them is because they have the wrinkles in their face, and the wrinkles would act as reservoirs to catch the blood so they could still keep going at the bull. And their short stature, the bulls don't have very good eyesight, if you know anything about that. So the bulls really couldn't see where they were coming from. So it's all of a sudden, six to eight of these little fuckers are coming at them, biting their ankles, biting them in the belly, biting them in the ass, swinging off their tails and everything and not caring. All right? So if you know anything about bulldogs, they're pretty fierce. Don't fuck with the bulldogs. Yeah. Little education.
Yes, we do education on this show.
Yep.
As well as interviews
cool,
and other stuff. So...
I used to work with breeders. I had to know things like that.
mm. There you go.
It's a long time ago.
Oh,
I don't know
gosh.
Everything. I just know some things.
But, yeah.
But anyway, what's next?
So, well, in addition to getting a wedding planned, well, Nikki and Bree looks like they are getting ready to write a book. So they've been sitting down, they've been writing, and so they're going to put a book out.
Cool. That sounds really interesting.
Yeah. It'll definitely be good for people to, you know, maybe get a little bit more of an idea as far as, you know, what it's taken them to get to where they are, and that.
Yeah,
it's a lot of hard work.
Really, really cool.
And that. So WWE has already announced their next set of European tour dates for later on this year,
mm-hmm.
and it's quite the deal. They start off in Glasgow on November 1st, move to Brighton on the 2nd, London on the 3rd. Then they head across to the European mainland to Barcelona on the 4th. They're actually doing a split. They're doing Barcelona and Minehead. So part of the crew is staying in England. Part of the crew is going to Spain. So there'll be shows in Barcelona and Minehead on November 4th. There'll be shows on the 5th in Madrid and Cardiff. Then they come back together for two nights in Manchester, the 6th and the 7th, which is when they'll tape Raw and SmackDown and 205. Then the 8th they go to Dortmund and Leeds. On the 9th they go to Leipzig. And looks like they're splitting again. Part of the crew is staying in Germany and doing Hamburg on the 10th, and the other part is going to Milan. The 11th, they'll be in Mannheim, and the 12th they'll be in Florence. And May 19th of next year, they will be in Paris.
Wicked.
Yep.
That's really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I tell you, you know what? I wish you could have seen Nikki Cross's interview on NXT tonight. Her promo that she shot for TakeOver Chicago, with talking about Asuka and the belt. Do you remember? Let's put it this way. Do you remember that Mickey Knuckles promo that Sean sent you?
I think so.
Before,
the
you
one,
know,
was the one
where she
goes off? Her crazy
rant? Where's
my belt?
Yeah. Yeah,
where's my belt? Where's my belt? Where's my belt?
Guess what?
Yeah.
Guess what? Nikki Cross more or less stole that. She goes right up. I mean, she goes so close up into the camera that her face is completely black. You can't even see her face.
Whoa.
You know, and there she is with that.
Yeah,
and there she is, you know, with that Scottish accent. Where's Oscar? Where's my belt? Where's Oscar? You know, I mean, if you can find a way to see tonight's NXT. Oh, you got to watch that. You got that promo alone was worth watching the whole show for. And that, honestly. And, you know, I mean, of course, like I say, I mean, I've definitely always been a big fan of, you know, I like the NXT roster. Like I posted tonight, I'm hoping that they put Aleister Black on the main roster and not on the 205, even though he hits in that weight class. I want him on the main roster, and I want him on there sooner rather than later. Because I honestly love the gimmick, and that he fits it so well. He's got great work ethic, and that, I mean, it's, you know, it's good. It is very, very good stuff. You know,
excuse me, I ate chili for dinner. I'm hurting.
Oh, jeez.
Oh.
So did my wife. That's why I'm glad I'm out in the living room doing this rather than in the bedroom.
You don't want her to come sitting on your lap. Come on, now, I'm giving you some love.
Yeah.
We only share our farts and our hurts with the ones we love. Come on, now.
Yeah, well, and there's a time and a place for that, and while I'm attempting to broadcast live on the air, is not that time nor place.
All right. That's okay. I'll make up for the birth. I'm trying to keep him as quiet as I can, then.
Oh. Yeah. So, all right. Well, Steve Kern was on the two-man power trip of wrestling, which if you've never listened to that show, highly recommend it. It's really an excellent show. They always get a lot of top name guys in that. He's talking about FCW, which is what NXT was when he was in charge. And
all right.
And he says, you know, he says you never really know how certain things happen. You are only limited to so much information. But what my belief was is they saw what we had done, not see the beginning, and they saw after it had been a 5-year buildup. I think they saw that this could be bigger if they begin to back it and dump money into it. I think Triple H had a vision after visiting a professional football camp, but he envisioned more of the WWE having something like that than the old style territory. The change of command in the WWE went from John Laurinaitis in the talent relations area over to more Triple H. And when you change coaches, you change teams also. When it came down to me, they asked what did I want to do, and they were very courteous and very respectful to me, which I appreciated. The idea of the transformation from FCW to NXT was to make it bigger and make it more important, but that puzzled me because it lost the concept of being new. And the reason that he left, he says, I started seeing less guys with passion and more guys with different situations. And not that there is anything wrong with it. That just makes it harder to teach somebody that doesn't love it.
Yeah.
I've talked about this before, you know. You know, anybody can maybe be taught the basics, okay? But you can't really learn to do what we do if your heart is not in it.
I'd have to agree with you right there.
I mean,
I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I don't know what the hell I'm doing putting me in the ring. I don't know how to take a bump. I don't know how to nothing. I don't even know how to tie a turnbuckle. Look, man, I can't even tie a turnbuckle, okay? So don't even.
Hey, but Katie, none of us come into it automatically right there with it.
You're right.
My kid was probably one of the few people that I know was a natural at it. I mean, the first bump he ever took, he landed it perfectly.
Yeah.
Shocked my buddy who was teaching him, myself, and the guy that he was working with. Had he not gotten into a car crash and hurt his neck before his first match was supposed to take place, who knows what could have happened with him and that. You know,
yeah.
I've told the story a bunch. Yeah, go ahead.
My only experience in a fight amongst a crowd of people is a mosh pit. So I've got nothing. I got nothing. I got to rely on you.
Well, I'll tell you.
I know I've
told this story at least a couple of times. When I was with Windy City after our 1 year after our Battle of the Belts, which is our big show, promoter the next practice, he was not happy because the conditioning of the guys was not good. They were falling apart in their matches early and things like that. So in order to work on conditioning, he made everybody do 4-minute what we call drop down drills. And what a drop down drill is you
Hi.
Run the rope.
Hold on, honey.
Okay.
Hold on, Billy. Just a minute, okay, sweetheart? Go ahead.
My bad.
Okay.
No, you're okay.
But,
it's all right. You didn't know. That's okay.
Yeah. But drop down drills. You got the runner, the guy that's running the ropes, and that, and everybody else. When the guy goes from one side to the next, the second guy follows and then drops down in front of him, and he has to run over the top of him without losing his footwork, and that.
Mm-hmm.
And the promoter was making everybody run, or at least try to, for 4 minutes. I had guys that were like 20 years younger than I was at the time. Couldn't pull it off.
Sure.
I was not going to be the guy that was going to quit. When I was on the side where the wall was at, I focused on the spot on the wall to hit my mark. When I turned to run the other side, I was looking at the office, watching, that was my focus point, made sure I got over my guy heading back towards the wall. And when he called the time, I grabbed that top rope. I held my head, tilted my head up towards the sky, and just took in every cubic inch of oxygen that I could, and it was the one time he ever let anybody off of practice early, and it was me. The next practice, one of the vets came up to me and he said to me, and I think this is where I really earned my respect in the promotion. He said to me, that first 2 minutes that you did, that was ability. The second 2 minutes, that was heart. From that point on, I was in solid. So, I can sit here and I can, obviously I can sit there and tell stories all day.
Oh yeah, and I love your stories. You know I love your talking shop. I can listen to it all day long, all night long. I don't care. It's great.
Yeah.
You know this. I love it.
Yep. But anyway, what Steve said, when it came time for me, and I had a contract that went from December to December, and when the time went from less years to less years, they ended up wanting to make changes, and they wanted to cut my pay because I am not doing everything, and that is fine. They want me to move to Orlando, and I said, I can't do that. I'm in my 60s, and I live in Tampa, and I am Mr. Florida, and I know the best place to live in Tampa is where I wanted to spend the rest of my life. I didn't want to move 80 miles east into a tourist trap where I need to be in my home more. In the end, and when the end came, I said, this is great, and I'm glad it is over, and now it is time for me to step back. And when they said they weren't renewing my contract, I hugged them and said, thanks. I've been waiting for the end because I was told one time not to ever quit. Make them pay you to the end. So.
Okay.
Steve Kern, great guy. One of my favorite tag teams of all time. Steve Kern, Stan Lane, the Fabulous Ones.
Oh. Wow.
Oh. Seriously. Those guys. Oh. I just got a message from dear Roxy.
Auntie Roxy.
She just got home. Hold on here. I'm waiting for it to.
Loading. Keep that message loading.
Right.
And I grew up with it, right? I had an awesome stepfather.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. Get it up. Pick him up. God.
Yeah. So, okay. She just got home, and she's working at 7:30, so.
No worries, Auntie Roxy. It's okay. Get some rest. She's keeping busy, so God bless her.
Yeah. So I just told her that, that you send your love.
Yeah, I love her the mostest.
Yes, you do.
Last time
she was on,
she was making fun of me. She was making fun of me last time I was on. I don't know what kind of mood Auntie Roxy was in last time, but I don't know. I miffed her and peeved her off something fierce, and I still don't know what I did. But yeah, she was picking on me.
I think she was just picking on you because you're easy to pick on.
There's that, but yeah, she never picks on me. She's picking on me.
So.
Love you, Auntie Roxy. Love you, Auntie Grimlina and Auntie Sandy.
Yep.
Yeah. Auntie Sunny, excuse me. Auntie Sunny. Sandy is Grimlina. Yep.
Right. Right. So, well, Triple H is about to get a big honor, or did get a big honor today. He was inducted into the Boys and Girls Club of America Hall of Fame today. And he joined WNBA star Skylar Diggins, Major League Baseball Players Association Executive Director Tony Clark, Dallas Cowboys tight end Jason Witten, actor Anthony Anderson from Black-ish, Dr. Dante Loretta and Dr. Philip Schein. And he's actually He's actually a member of the Nashua, New Hampshire club.
Oh.
Now, Now, and actually 2 years earlier, Vince was inducted into the Boys and Girls Clubs of America Hall of Fame.
Neat. That's very cool. Way to go, Vince.
Yep. Yep. So.
Very cool.
She just sent me back a message. She says, I want to come on soon. I love you, Katie.
Okay, now I got a message.
Yep.
Auntie Roxy. Yes, and you're a bunch of husbands and sisters. Go. I'm done.
Okay. Now.
I'm a quick typer. You know this.
Yeah, I know. Well, Tammy Sitch, aka Sunny, was on this is, boy, this is almost so appropriate of a name of a show that she would be on. The Wrestlingus show.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say it was the Suck and Blow Hour.
Well, hey, Wrestlingus, I mean, come on.
Hey, man. Sonny, I love you, but you set yourself up for that one.
But anyway, she talked about her relationship with Shawn Michaels. And which occurred during a point that her and Chris were not together. But during that period, although at times she was actually, this is a funny thing. They were separated, but they still traveled on the road together. They still shared hotel rooms at times.
Okay.
But during that time, she was in a relationship with Shawn Michaels.
Yeah. Well, Shawn Michaels can't have no dirty hoe around him. Sorry.
Well, at the time he sure could.
Yeah, that's a different lifestyle.
I mean, they were hooking up and
that's
dating,
different.
Traveling
yeah.
to Jamaica, according to what she says.
That was a different time.
Yeah.
Almost, that's it. I mean, and as far as that goes, almost a different planet, you know? So.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, because she talks about the fact that he had a lipstick fetish.
Okay. He likes to see it on, or he likes rainbow dick. What?
I think all of it. He liked to smear it all over her face, and so.
Oh God.
And he also was a horn dog. Says he instructs me to wear short skirts with no underwear underneath, so it would be easy access. This would happen like 4 times during the day at the arena, and then back at the hotel at night.
Oh damn.
Seriously, he was like an 18-year-old kid in high school. He couldn't get enough.
Pussy is pussy, and baby, he's pussy for life. Ugh.
Well,
I thought my husband was bad. Short skirts, no underwear? Come on now. That's standard. Every wife should do that. That, like, yeah, maybe 2-3 times me and Darren when we first started going out, but yeah, okay. We're talking 6-7 times a day with those two.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Wow.
But yeah, and in fact, actually, at one point, she was actually, Sean actually wanted her to move in with him. He was building a house.
Oh my God.
And she says that his mother and her became real close. They used to talk on the phone like every day.
Okay.
And the three of them picked out the colors for the cabinets, the countertops, the tiles, the carpeting, everything for the house. And so right as the house is getting finished, he asked her to move in with him. And so she had to think, okay, she can move to Texas with him and either A, have a great life, or have that end really badly, and B, on the other hand, if she did move to Texas with him and ended for good with Chris would probably kill himself. Says, I mean, Chris worshipped the ground I walked on, like I was everything to him. So my subconscious, I couldn't just say to Chris, okay, we're totally ended. We're done forever now. I'm moving in with Sean, because he probably would have offed himself, honest to God.
Oh, my God. You know what? I hate guys like that, and if that's the way they're going to be, I'm not trying to be rude or nothing, but I had a guy do that to me before. So if I broke up with him, he'd kill himself. So I broke up with him, and I saw him the next day, and I said, what the fuck? I kept up my end of the bargain.
Yeah, yeah.
No one is worth killing themselves over.
I don't have any respect for that. That's not even a cry for help. That's manipulation right there at its finest. So I don't.
And the other thing that he didn't like was the fact that she was actually pretty good friends with Bret Hart.
She's fucking bad. Get over yourself.
And of course, back then, at that time, the two of, Bret and Sean were, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, they were forced to work together, but they hated each other's guts.
Oh, I know they hated each other. Oh my god. Watch Wrestling with Shadows. It's a Bret Hart story, and they go right into the Montreal Screwjob. Right, I mean,
Damn. Sure.
Bret walks into Vince's office and closes the door, but you hear Bret hit him. Okay.
Oh God.
Very next Raw, Vince had a big old shiner. Okay, they hated each other. They hated each other. Sean, I've read into this quite a bit and read up on it. Sean hated anybody who was in line for the title ahead of him. He hated anybody that looked better than him or even as good as him. It was a threat to him. He didn't care. All right? A lot of the wrestlers that should have made it didn't make it because of Triple H and Sean and the other DX members. They all felt threatened. Oh, why are you letting them do this? And why are you letting them do that?
Yeah, exactly.
I thought we were
the
big dog. I thought, we're the clique. We're what everybody wants. And that's why DX dominated for as long as they did. Because they were straight up Vince's ass. Straight up their ass. Straight up creative's ass. Straight up everybody's ass. What they said, it happened. The sun shone out of their ass. They were writing other people's storylines. They were making matches, just like Hulk Hogan did back in the 80s, okay? They were the shot callers is exactly what it said in the article that I read. They were the shot callers, period. The only reason you made it in the WWE during the Attitude Era is if they said you did.
Hmm.
Long and short.
Yeah.
So that hug at the end was real reconciliation then?
Probably.
Yes. Yes. They finally, you know, I mean, when Sean found God, his whole life completely changed and that. So he straightened out very, very much so. Now the other thing that goes back with Tammy, well, Chris's last check ever, which was with TNA, came after he died. It was for a pay per view. It was like $1,500. Okay.
All right.
Now they had a joint checking account, joint savings account, but obviously, of course, she couldn't endorse a check in his name over because they wouldn't allow that.
No.
She even brought in his ID and said, "I need to deposit his check," but he passed away and they wouldn't let her.
They said she had to get a check.
Well, no, it wasn't that. It was because she wasn't
married.
It
wouldn't matter then. Yeah.
So the bank said that they had to get a check cut in her name in order to deposit it. So she contacted Terry Taylor and said, "Listen, I need to pay off some of his bills and I can't deposit his last paycheck. I need it cut in my name to deposit it into our account and pay off his credit cards and some things that need to be paid." He's like, "Well, let me get back to you in like 2 days." He calls back in 2 days and says, "Sorry, you guys were never legally married, so we can't cut a check in your name."
Oh yeah, she got screwed over by his family and everything when he died. It took everything.
Yeah, well, I think
she's legally married.
Depends on who you hear it from, and that.
Yeah.
So.
That's true too,
know.
But still, it is what it is. She did get screwed.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
Long and short.
All right. Okay. Well, here's the question. We're about an hour in.
An hour in.
Yeah. And obviously, of course, we don't have anybody. There's really not a heck of a lot of news. And of course, we covered everything. So.
All right.
Do you want to try and run through another hour, or do you think we should just go ahead and cut it here, and we'll see everybody again on Tuesday night? You know what? Hold on. I do want to mention something because, you know, and I forgot to mention this back on Tuesday because we had everything that we were talking about then. You know, and I'm not one who likes to sit there and pat myself on the back or sit there and brag on the show a lot. I figure, you know, that's what our listeners are supposed to do, and that if we do it, to me it seems like ego, and that. But I think we need to go ahead and talk about last week's show, and of course last week's show was with Laredo Kid.
I enjoyed him. He was good.
He was.
Great guy.
Well, just wait till you hear this. The next morning, I got a PM from his dad, who is of course his manager. No, you've seen this, Katie. You've seen this. And he said, you know, he listened and he definitely enjoyed it. He says that that Laredo was really thrilled with, and get this, guys, and when I read this, and honestly, I teared up when I read this.
Oh,
because
you're gonna have to send it.
Hey, you've seen it. I sent it to you that next that morning.
Oh, yeah.
After we
got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was so happy to be here. You don't understand.
Right.
He considered it an opportunity.
Yeah. And here's the big thing. This was his first ever English language interview.
He has never
done an interview in English. It's always been in Spanish.
Well,
the first English interview he ever gives, and it's with our show.
Well, straight up, he even said, not in so many words, but he said he was struggling. His English isn't very good. But he was enunciating perfectly. I understand everything.
Yeah.
I didn't have to ask him to repeat himself or anything.
Right.
Nothing.
Right. Absolutely.
I told Chase Williams that I got to speak to him on this radio show, and he was impressed.
Well, there you go. There you go. Oh, and another thing for all you Johnny Mundo fans, his first ever movie came out a couple of days ago. It's available on iTunes and Amazon, called Boone the Bounty Hunter.
Boone the Bounty Hunter.
Yes. So,
okay.
Let me see if I can look up a little bit on it here so that come on.
Johnny Mundo, isn't that John Morrison?
Yes.
Nice.
And I'm looking up a quick piece of information on it here.
Saw him on this video by Superpower Beatdown where he portrayed Casey Jones in a fight against Kick-Ass,
mm-hmm.
and holy shit, he did a good job as Casey.
I love
He was
Casey
a perfect
Jones.
Casey
you know
Jones.
That. I love Casey Jones. I want to go out as Casey Jones for Halloween. Everybody knows that I go out as superheroes and villains and villainesses and whatnot for Halloween. Now, last year I went out as Deadpool. Now, one of my friends, she's going to type to me, are you serious? I had to tell people who Deadpool was, okay?
Oh, wow.
I had to explain to them. I had to tell them to Google me and that I'm fabulous. So I even have my own movie and everything, okay? But, I mean, Casey Jones, are they gonna know, should I dress Darren up as Casey Jones and me as maybe Donatello from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? What do I do?
Classes Pain 101.
Because Darren will be a wicked ass cool Casey Jones. Let me tell you. But anyway, this is not the Casey Jones.
So anyway, this definitely looking at the plot, looks like it's a takeoff on Dog. Now, Johnny, under his real name, John Hennigan, actually was the creator of the character and one of the writers of the film.
Wow.
And it looks like from what I'm seeing here, it's very much based off of the DuPont case, which was probably the first time maybe a lot of people had ever heard of Dog the Bounty Hunter. And he wound up
I love Dog
in jail in Mexico for taking the drug dealer and basically they call it kidnapping, but he was wanted on a warrant out of California. So Hennigan, John Burnell, Stephen Kogan, Franco Moveslin, and Jonathan Perkins are the writers on this. I'll go back and run the quick synopsis here. And it says when fame seeking, hold on. Oops, I got to do it this way. Okay.
Dog put up with a
when
lot
fame,
of shit for that case.
Seeking,
I remember it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
When fame seeking reality show bounty hunter Boone attempts to bring down a drug lord in his empire, he uncovers more than he bargains for and learns that justice means more than ratings. And it's available on Amazon Video for $3.99. Let's see if there's anybody on here that may have some recognition here. Rampage Jackson is in it. Lorenzo Lamas.
Whoa! Really?
Ooh,
and, yeah. Well, of course. Remember, Lorenzo Lamas is also on Lucha Underground.
Yep. He certainly is.
So that would
I know
be,
him as the Renegade.
That would be
that's
how the
earliest.
Yes.
That cannot be the earliest that you know Lorenzo Lamas. Okay, Lorenzo Lamas was. He played the jock that Olivia Newton-John had to date as Sandy in Grease.
Well,
I'm afraid that was my introduction.
I date back further. I date back to Falcon Crest.
Yeah, Falcon Crest as well. No, Falcon Crest is around the same time.
Okay.
Falcon Crest is 80s. Falcon Crest is 80s.
Okay.
Grease was 1977.
Yep.
Sorry to disappoint you.
Well, they actually gave Kevin Sorbo some work.
Oh.
That out of work has been. Kevin Sorbo plays. Kevin Sorbo.
Kevin
oh
Sorbo
my
plays.
God.
Kevin Sorbo.
Kevin
Sorbo. Kevin
as himself.
Sorbo. Damn. Well, you know what? Hey. Sounds as bad as Adam West on the Family Guy.
It'll still be cool to see him on the screen again.
Yeah. He's a joke. Sorry.
Great Hercules,
must
though.
Be a joke. Oh, my God. Will you please stop? He was a terrible Hercules. He was terrible.
Oh.
He was, oh, God, was he terrible.
Corbin Burnson from L.A. Law.
Cool.
Is also in this movie. So there you go. You can pick it up on Amazon or iTunes, and it's available now. So, well, I'll tell you what. Let's do this. I'll pick in. We'll put in a little Oblivion Zero, and
okay.
Take a little breather.
Call.
That way you can refresh your call, and take a little Jim Cornette bladder break or whatever, and that.
Oh man, I'm good.
All right. But we'll be back in just a few minutes. We'll kind of see what's going on. So you are listening to PWR Slam in the ER.
You like it so far.
WrestleWars Professional Wrestling returns to Streeter Saturday night,
June 3rd,
6 to 5 p.m.
at the Streeter YMCA.
Benefiting the Tornado Relief Fund of Nate Plain in Ottawa.
This is an all-ages event
featuring WWE Hall of Famer Cowboy Bob Orton Jr.,
a women's match,
two live bands,
Oblivion Zero and Left of Reason.
Get tickets at Cam Scottish Pub
and Trainer Flooring of Streeter.
Or use the code RAD1 to save $1 at the door.
Visit Facebook.com/RWF Pro.
WrestleWars happening June 3rd.
You've been to the rest. Now come see the best.
That's right. And also that night, appearing live, his first time ever in the Illinois Valley.
Tucker boys are cooking down in Carolina. People down in Florida can't be still when old Leonard Skinner's picking down in Jacksonville. People down in Georgia come from near and far to hear Richard Best picking on that red guitar. So gather round, gather round, chill and be down. Well, just get down, chill and get loud. Well, you can be loud, yeah, and be proud. And you can be proud, yeah, and I'll be proud. You will live because the South's gonna do it again. And again.
Yep, that's right. Tracy's Mothers will also be with us on June 3rd. So that's gonna be good. I'll tell you what, I haven't worked with Tracy in quite a few years. We worked in a promotion in Indianapolis together that was partially run by Bert Prentice. And anybody who knows anything about Southern wrestling knows the name of Bert Prentice. Bert Prentice is probably one of the most well-known, probably one of the most outlandish promoters in the entire Southern wrestling industry. And that he was also for a while in San Antonio was the manager for Tully Blanchard.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Oh, right on.
So
that was one of my favorite tag teams growing up, with Tully Blanchard and Arn Anderson. They were brutal.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They were freaking brutal.
Oh, they were. They were. Mm-hmm. Although, of course, not as bad as the sheep herders, who, of course, later got softened up and turned into, you know, into the clownish. Well, I won't say clownish because that's putting them down, and those guys are friends of mine. They're very cool. The Bushwhackers.
I love the Bushwhackers.
Although Luke was always getting me, when the crowd would start chanting and he'd look at me and he'd go, "You hear that, mate? I think they're saying Bushnickers, Bushnickers." And I am trying to keep a straight face, and I'm going, "You dog, you stop it! I don't be serious."
Bushnickers. Dirty Bushnickers.
Bushnickers.
Yeah. Oh, those guys, I tell you, they were a laugh a minute. I always, I love working with them.
Oh, man.
I love working with Public Enemy back then.
I bet.
Oh my gosh. Public Enemy was great. And of course, the funny thing about it is those guys, I mean, they were huge college football fans.
I bet.
I mean, every time we got together for to work a show, and that, and I as soon as I would get there, you know, we'd sit down and we'd be talking football. We'd be talking whatever games had played that day, and that, you know, when I, you know, like I say, the, you know, night I got to work with Tito Santana, we're sitting down in the basement of the theater with the TV on, we're watching college football and sitting there talking like we'd known each other for 20 years.
That's what sports does.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
No. That's what this crazy business of ours does.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So
true.
Yeah. You know,
right.
You know, I mean, I love this business. I mean, you know, this month marks 28 years I've been involved.
Holy wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I have been doing this now for, I mean, you know, and in June I hit a big birthday, and that.
This is true. This is true.
And I have now been in this business almost half my life.
That's saying a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not gonna
sit here and hide it. I'm gonna be 60.
Yeah, you know, I know that.
28 years, and 28 years I've been doing this now. You know, in some way, shape, or form.
Hey, if it's good
yeah.
to you and you like
oh, yeah.
it.
I mean, I still remember the first time I stepped into a ring in front of a live audience. I was scared out of my mind.
I would have puked.
I mean, seriously. You know, and I'd been doing theater since I was in. Well, I mean, I've been performing since I was 6 years old,
mm-hmm.
and that. But when I got in front of a wrestling audience, I tell you, I mean, it was, you know, it was like all of a sudden, you know, I had the biggest bout of butterflies that I could possibly ever have, and that.
I bet.
How? And I mean, you know, up until what was my last show, I always had them going in. But I think that's a good thing because,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you don't have some nerves going in and that, then, you know, you're in the wrong business and that. I've talked mm-hmm. I've talked a lot of times on this show about my buddy Keith Walker, who worked with me at World Wrestling Zone, and eventually did a few tours of Japan with Pro Wrestling Noah. Even at our little house shows, at our training facility, that sat like 30 people, he would literally get sick to his stomach and throw up before a show. And this is a big guy. I mean, he's like, you know, 6'4", legitimate 285. And, you know, and to me, that says, you know, hey, this guy, you know, loves his business and he really, really, wants to wants to make it work. And that. So, yeah, that's the thing, guys. You know, I mean.
Yeah.
So, okay. I did not notice this on Tuesday Night SmackDown. I guess I'll have to sit down and watch it again and see if I can pick it up. But before they started taping SmackDown for Tuesday, there were a bunch of loud Fire Bradshaw chants.
Neat.
And it says there were reports that there were fans chanting "Fire JBL" on the train in London after Monday Night's Raw.
Huh.
And apparently, I'll pop one in the chat. There's a there's an audio clip.
Not in the chat.
Of it. Oh. Okay. All right, Larry. Here you go. I'll pop you the link here. So here we go. All right.
All right.
Here we go. And there we go. And there you go. There you go. We did hear from Sean. His cell phone's dead.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh. Shitty.
Yeah. So let's see here. And there is supposed to be. A Vince McMahon film.
Oh, wow. What?
Sony TriStar is supposed to be putting together a biopic called Pandemonium. But
okay.
Linda says, I'm not sure that movie will ever see the light of day.
Hmm. Hold on.
Vince in a movie. Interesting.
No, a movie about Vince.
Oh.
Yeah.
So basically kind of like a Vince McMahon story or something like that.
Oh, right. Exactly. Exactly. It's a biopic. Yeah.
Yes.
Docudrama.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Exactly. Exactly. So,
there.
Oh. And Steve Austin was on Lillian Garcia's program.
Cool.
And now if I can get it, come on, be good. That's one of the things that he hates about the current day as opposed to back in the old days. He says, they're still alive. Anything can still happen, but it's very micromanaged and gone over to so much detail. It's like the chances are nothing is going to happen that's not supposed to happen. But it's one of the things that he talks about why he doesn't want to do it, on a full-time basis, and that he says he just doesn't like to travel anymore.
You can't say they blame him.
Yeah.
Vince is old.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But
he's not so vascular.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I mean, you know, he loved it back then, but of course, you know, nowadays, of course, he's, you know, with neck and everything. It's, you know, I mean, that's it. He's, you know, I mean, he's done. He doesn't want to do the, wouldn't want to do the travel in that anymore. So, yeah.
Sorry,
so,
just a
getting tired.
Still no update exactly on the situation as to what's up with Emma's shoulder, what exactly happened, how long she's going to be out of action, and that. Like I say, I feel sorry because she's just getting back in, getting that program with Dana going and everything, and boom. Now, all I can say is for SmackDown, Vaudeville Lana better hurry up, get that stripper pole set up in the middle of the ring, and get out there and get going, because I mean, hell,
excuse me,
they definitely, both rosters definitely need something. And,
I have to agree with you. Everything was going great with the women's division before the shakeup. Now the shakeup has happened.
And now we're getting back
again.
To those, you know, matches and
if they
all
do a
that.
Pillow fight or a lingerie match, I'll lose it. You know, if they go back to the way it used to be, I'll fucking lose my mind, and you know I will.
I hear you. I hear you.
I'll stop watching. I'll just stop. Yeah, because I did. I went a couple of years without watching wrestling because it got dumb.
Mm.
Like worse than what it is now. You know.
So. Yeah. But well, Stephanie says, If the right opportunity came about,
mm-hmm.
and that, especially if it was to help make somebody else and get them over, she would be happy to step back in the ring again.
Steph said that.
Yes.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. She says, you know, I'm not necessarily the best, but I do love to get in there. So if there's ever an opportunity again to do that and help make somebody else, then I would absolutely welcome it.
Yeah, she's got a good point there, you know. I'm not going to say she's I will say she's horrible in the ring. But I love you, Steph. You know I love you. And your nice, long, beautiful legs and big booties. But your brother's more suited to this task. Leave this to your brother. Let your brother jump from 50-foot scaffolding. Thank you very much. Like what the hell was I watching? Yeah, it was Impact. I get Impact in 60, and they show me all kinds of different matches. They scramble it up a bit, and AJ climbing the scaffolding, and I look at Darren. I'm like, Shayna would go higher than that, and AJ would do a step up. Shayna would still go higher than that, and AJ would do a step up. No, Shayna would go higher than that. He'd go as high as Shayna would, and you know, do frog splash right off the top, and I'm just like, ow. Ooh, shit. Yeah.
That's
you know I like that shit. I love that shit. I do. I love Shane O'Mac. I've always loved Shane O'Mac. Always, always, always.
I admire Shane O'Mac.
Yeah, man. I love him.
I mean,
he's the best.
A man his age, getting in the ring and mixing it up with the wrestlers is a fucking sight to behold.
Yeah, it is, but you truly have to look at it. Yeah, sure, Stephanie was around for it and everything else, but yeah, Stephanie's all gaga and geeks out. But Shane actually spent time with the wrestlers and got to know them and actually got in the ring with them, took his bumps, took his bruises and whatnot, and actually wanted to do something in the business. You know, sure, he backed off for, what was it, five years, 10 years?
About five, six years, yeah.
Yeah, and even Steve said he's never coming back, and go, you watch, he's coming back, you watch. And what was it, 2 months
sure
later?
Enough.
Oh, Shane all back. He
yep.
can't stay away.
Here comes the money.
Money. Ching, ching, dollar, dollar, bling, bling. Yeah, man. I love him. Everybody knows that.
Oh, my gosh. Jady Kitty, you are crazy. You are crazy.
That's me. You wouldn't love me any other way.
Yeah, I know.
All right. I got
I
nothing
know.
Left in the tank, Steve. I got
neither,
nothing. How you doing?
Neither do I. I think we've pretty much run it through and that. So, just remember, right back here Tuesday night at 10, 9 Central, right after SmackDown Live, back here on the ER. And we'll have another great show for you. So I am the Dean of Wrestling Referees, Steve Kane, along with my co-host.
The reason why this show will never be a bag of dicks, Chaotic Katie. Well, folks, you know what time it is. You don't have to go home. But you sure as hell can't stay here. Get the fuck out, eh? Take off. Get out, pylon.
And we'll see you Tuesday.
Yeah,
or don't forget
Tuesday.
Thursday, tomorrow night, no, PWR throwback.
Yeah. See you next Tuesday.
Closing time. Open all the doors and let you out into. Closing time, turn all of the lights on over every boy and every girl. Closing time, one last call for alcohol, so finish your whiskey or beer. Closing time, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay. I know who I want to take me home. Every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end.